Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Last month, we had almost 5,000 educators and parents register for our newest webinar, Defiance and Deescalation. In this workshop, I broke down exactly what defiance is, how we can prevent it, and how we can respond in an effective way. We also got into deescalation. How can we help a child who is overwhelmed deescalate safely and in a way that doesn't interrupt the rapport you have with that child? Now, I've heard from so many of you that you missed this webinar, and that makes me so sad because I absolutely loved this session, and I think there are a lot of great take-home points. So because so many of you missed it, I want to host this webinar again. I know summer is starting and you're maybe not in school mode, but this is a one-hour session that is going to give you a lot of tangible tips to bring to your home or class setting. So I'm going to be doing this webinar again live two times on June 18th at 12 p.m. and 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. The registration link is in the show notes. This is completely free. You'll get a certificate of completion and some amazing freebies. Hope to see you on June 18th.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper Podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism.
Welcome back to the Autism Helper Podcast. I am so excited to share my interview with Abby Moehringer, who is the owner of Miss Mo's Modifications. She is a special ed teacher and BCBA, so woman after my own heart. And she's passionate about research-based interventions and trauma-informed support. And that's exactly what we are talking about in today's episode. Abby shares the number one tip of what you should do after a behavior happens. Her strategy is so essential and important for maintaining that positive relationship that you have spent so much time cultivating with that student. She gives a lot of actionable tips about when to use this strategy, and we even get into a little bit on staff training. So let's go ahead and hear from Abby. Hi, Abby. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
I am excited to have you on, and I'm really excited about the topic that you chose. So today, Abby's going to share the number one tip for what to do when a behavior happens. And I have to say, this is like top of mind right now because I do a lot of trainings on behavior, and I've been talking a lot about how no one talks about responsive strategies. Like, everything's heavy proactive, which we know is great, but we have to talk about what to do when a behavior happens. Like, how do we react, respond?
Right. And it's so important. And I know that another thing we hear a lot is building the relationship and the foundation and how important that is. And they kind of come together. And this is what I always say. So whether you have a student who has autism or who has just some type of behavior, you always need to be thinking about that relationship following the behavior. So the number one tip that you can do after a behavior happens is to repair that relationship. And you might be thinking, oh, but, you know, they didn't do anything to me, or, you know, they were physical with another student. That student might be carrying some anxiety or some fear that you're going to be upset with them. Or maybe you did get upset with them, which is understandable. We're human. And maybe they felt that. It's important after everyone has come back to baseline, everyone's cooled back down, that you have a conversation. And in that conversation, there's a few things that I like to talk about really specifically. So one, it's so important to let the student tell you what happened. And it's important to note that they might say something totally wrong. Like, you're like, that didn't happen. Joey didn't push you. I watched the whole thing. You pushed Joey. But it's their reality and they think it happened. So just listen to it and don't necessarily stop them and change the story. Maybe if they are a little confused about something, help them iron it out, but that's their reality. Now, what's important is that you name the emotion that they're feeling. So, oh, you thought Joey pushed you. How did that make you feel? You know, and giving them, if they're not able to do it on their own, giving them the language, oh, that made you really angry because you then dropped your art project. And then tying it to the behavior. So you were really angry. So then you pushed Joey back and you guys got into a physical altercation or something like that. So it's really important to talk that out and make it kind of black and white. So having just that little conversation with them can repair the relationship because you're showing them you're not angry. You are teaching them that they can name that emotion. And then if you have time, this is really where the bread and butter of this comes in. You ask them for what they could have done instead. And it's really important if you can get them to come up with an alternative strategy. And that is challenging sometimes, and they might need to work through that with you, or maybe you do have to give some examples. But that is something that is going to change the behavior in the future. If you have time to practice it, that's something else you can do. And I know it's like, oh my gosh, all of these steps, how am I supposed to have time? And it depends on like how big the behavior is, right? So if you have a physical altercation, you're going to want to talk maybe a little bit longer, really make sure you set time to the side to talk about it. But if it's minor and it's in the classroom and a student rips up a paper in front of you, you can really quickly be like, oh, you seem really frustrated. You know, what could you do instead of ripping up your paper? Just really quick like that. So then they know, oh, she's not mad at me for destroying her paper or her bulletin board or whatever it might be. And it can be something small and then you move on. But being able to connect the behavior name to the action is so huge and important.
I'm over here like nodding so much, Abby. You should see me. I'm like a bobblehead. I'm like, yes, yes. Okay, I love that example that you just gave of like a small behavior versus a big one, because like even in that, I mean, I love all of this, but that in particular was just jumping out at me, because with that like ripping the paper example, that's something that could then quickly spiral to something bigger, because you know, so many of our kids that have anxiety or have maybe a history of trauma might spiral and be like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, my teacher's mad at me. And now what's going to happen next? But if you can catch that and repair and, like you said, connect that with an emotion, we can just kind of stop that and be able to move on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's such an important thing. And I know that the relationship tip or whatever it might be, like people are saying it so much, but it really is the foundation to everything. And you have to continually work on it. It's not just, you know, I always say kids don't have to trust you just because you're their teacher. You know, it doesn't come with a job.
And for some kids, it might be a reason actually for them to not trust you.
Exactly.
And you have to like climb out of that hole and get really, really earn their trust for some kids.
Yeah. Yeah. Some kids, all they know is adults that have broken their trust, hurt them, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. So here comes another adult telling them what to do, and they don't think that they're going to be kind to them.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago when you said to have the student tell their story mm-hmm. and to not interrupt mm-hmm. and to not correct. And like, oh man, I think for a lot of people listening, they're like, you know, that will be really hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, what, and I so agree with you. What tips you have for the self-control an adult needs in that moment?
Yeah. So this is something I talk about too. You know, you really have to have your own self-regulation skills, right? So you really have to be in check with yourself, making sure you're not getting escalated again. If you have a student who you know might see things differently a lot, and that might be frustrating for you and triggering for you, how are you going to deal with that going in? So for me, you know, I always say, I'm a BCBA. I know more about behavior than the average person. I can do this, because we get frustrated. It's understandable. Mm-hmm. So coming up with a mantra that you can kind of just do some positive self-talk to yourself to get you through that, and really just working on active listening. I think as teachers, we like to talk a lot. Obviously, you know, we're always teaching, which unfortunately makes us really bad active listeners. So learning some of those skills are really important, and they'll help you not only with your students, but in your personal life as well.
Yes, yes, yes. I mean, I think you're right on dead on with the active listening. I think we're just like always so used to teaching, and like mm-hmm. not everything needs to be a teaching moment in the way we think it is. Like even like us being good active listeners is a teaching moment, mm-hmm. even though we're not saying anything.
Yes, yes. Yeah, allowing to work through it. And even, you know, they might be misremembering, air quotes, what happened to get a rise out of you. And if you're just like listening to it, they're like, oh, you know, that actually didn't happen, you know, actually, yeah. This is what happened.
That's true.
You never know. But
so how, with this idea of repair and like thinking of a bigger behavior, maybe mm-hmm. more of like a meltdown tantrum type situation, when do you recommend that this conversation mm-hmm. happens?
Mm-hmm. Great question. I always say as close to the behavior that happened as possible, but with a few caveats to that. Both you and the student need to be completely regulated again. If there's any indication of them getting agitated, you don't want to do it. You want to come back to it. And I've had some students who this is really challenging, because to even talk about the situation gets them to that agitation level and possibly escalates them again. So it's been, you know, long game for them that we have this whole conversation. Sometimes we have to make it really short. But definitely as close to it as possible. Now I've had kids that, you know, have had to go home right away. And what I do there is I try to have a meeting as soon as the kids come in, as soon as possible, so that we can all start on a good note. And I just think about probably all the anxiety that they're bringing back in with them, because they're like, what is my teacher thinking? Am I going to be in trouble? What are the other kids thinking? So working through all of that, even if it's the next day, but always making sure that that happens as soon as possible.
I like how you said too that like you as the adult are also de-escalated, because mm-hmm. like sometimes we're part of the problem here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are, because we're human and we have emotions.
Yeah, that's a great point. And you know, we do so much work with pairing and developing relationships mm-hmm. that it seems like such a shame to then like, you know, lose a lot of it on a bad day, that then we don't take the kind of last few steps to repair and recover and get us back to where we were.
Right. And it can be so short, but I know we have a million things on our to-do list, but I always try to make this most important. If I have to, you know, cancel a small reading group to make this conversation happen, that's how important it is to me, because if not, I'm going to be continuously fighting a possibly worse behavior down the road just because I didn't repair that relationship. So that's really how high I value this conversation.
So what would your advice be for people that kind of maybe get either too in their head on functions of behavior, or maybe have more of an old school belief on how to approach these things that, oh, well, if we do this, we're going to be reinforcing this negative behavior, so we shouldn't do that. Like, what's your response to that comment?
Well, I think that, you know, if you're trauma informed, especially, you know, this is the kind of approach that you want to take. And, you know, we're always trying to learn. And I always relate behavior to academics. You know, you're not going to make a kid stand at the wall at recess because they couldn't tell you what sound the letter A makes. So why are you making a kid sit at the wall if they're having a behavior and they're unable to regulate themselves? So I kind of try to reframe it. And I know that that's not, just saying that isn't going to change someone's mind, but just trying to plant the seed to have them think about behavior differently is kind of always my goal, because I know behavior is really polarizing and our beliefs and behaviors are really polarizing to people. And so I just am always trying to shape their behavior as well.
That's good advice. And I like that analogy too. And yeah, sometimes it's going to be a slow process, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to do it overnight, but these like small conversations, I think especially with people super stuck in their ways, can eventually make a difference, hopefully.
Yeah, I definitely think they could. And even if they just do it like a very minuscule part of it and they just talk to them and say, hey, let's just move on or something like that, at least they're connecting with them so they can do a little bit of repair, even if it's not the full thing.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Abby. I could talk about this forever, but let's wrap it up here. This was a great, like, concrete idea that people can put into everyday life, whether you're in home or school or clinical setting. Where can people go to learn more from you?
Yeah. So you can find me at Mrs. Moe's Modifications. That's on all social media and my blog. You can always find me there. And I'm happy to answer any and all behavior questions. I obviously could talk about it all day.
Me too. Great. I will add all of those links to our show notes so you all can connect with Abby. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.